This is Primetime on KTEP, a program that focuses on economic development, mobility, security, and quality of life issues in El Paso and surrounding areas.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of El Paso Primetime. I'm Richard Dayoub, Thunderbird Management Consulting. And today, as a part of our continuing series of interviews with our newly elected city representatives and mayor, we have with us Mr. Ivan Nino, who is the recently elected representative for District 5 in El Paso. Ivan, welcome to the show.
Richard, thank you so much for having me. I truly appreciate you and your time.
Thank you. As we want our audience to hear about all the things you have to share with them, let's begin by you telling our audience a little bit about who you are.
Yeah, of course. Well, once again, my name is Ivan Nino. Mi nombre es Ivan Nino. I was born and raised here in El Paso, and I've lived in District 5 for most of my entire life. You know, I always like to touch base into high school. I graduated from El Dorado High School, which is one of the two high schools in District 5. And I remember being one of the very first students to ever walk into that high school in 2003. And, you know, Joe Battle was just a dirt road. Zaragoza was just a dirt road. The first restaurant to ever open across the street was Sonic. And seeing the massive growth that now District 5 is, it's quite impressive. So a little bit about my background, you know, I was extremely involved in school. I was in student council, so many different organizations. And that's truly where I fell in love with public service. You know, I was in student council, always trying to do fundraisers and things for my community. And from there, I graduated from high school, but I thought I was going to be an actor, you know, because I was also in theater arts. So I went to acting school. And
where did you go to acting school?
I went to California. I went to Anthony Mendel's acting school in LA. The arts are such a big part of my background. You know, it's a way for you to express yourself. I like being a creative individual. And I came back home to El Paso. In that experience, I worked for one of the private offices under the tax assessor collector. So I was a deputy for the tax assessor collector, which is still public service. And that's where my public service career started. I was a deputy for about 10 years. I was appointed to the Texas DMV Board to the Title and Registration Advisory Committee. And from that, I then became a court administrator. And then I became a chief of staff for the office of District 5.
10 years?
Yes.
Okay, so we're on radio, so the audience can't see how young you are. So I'm having a hard time even accepting the fact that you're old enough to have had that job for 10 years.
Yeah,
I'm impressed.
I was deputized by former tax assessor collector Victor Flores in 2009 to be a deputy for the tax assessor.
I'll be darned. And so thank you for sharing that background with us. By the way, we have a little in common. Our oldest son, Damon, is an actor in Los Angeles, and I'm proud to say I was a major in theater arts here at UTEP a couple hundred years ago.
That's
it. So we have a passion for the arts and for theater in particular. So in the 30 minutes, slightly less than 30 minutes that we have, let's talk a little bit about what people are listening to this show for, which is to learn a little bit more about you and your role as a city representative for District 5. Been in office for just about 2 months. We just recently had the collective you, first ever State of the City address, which was held just in early March. I guess I'd like to know personally, I mean, you touched on it a little bit when you talked about public service, but what made you decide to run for City Representative District 5?
You know, so being someone who grew up in that community shaped me, and being able to be the chief of staff of former Representative Isabel Salcido. Prior to that, I was a court administrator for a district straight court. And like I said, I was also a deputy for the tax assessor collector. I really learned the importance of public service. And when the position became open, you know, and me being able to be a part of so many different conversations with the former city representative, I knew how important it was for me to step up and offer myself to serve my community. Because, again, I talk a lot about Zaragoza and Joe Battle being just dirt roads many years ago and seeing the massive growth. I felt that there was no other person that could possibly advocate for the district have that experience, that background, and be ready to work on day one.
Let me interrupt you. So you worked, and by the way, for our audience's benefit, the person with whom you are speaking, about whom you're speaking, is Isabel Salcido, who represented District 5 for a number of years.
Correct.
So back to then your role, you worked for her for 3 years.
Correct. I was her chief of staff, and, you know, I'm very grateful for her for the opportunity because I was able to be a part of many of the conversations. I mean, I got to meet so many different individuals that really helped the city move forward and the progress that's been taking place, right? So when the position became available, I did, you know, I had a conversation with her. And I really made the decision that it was the best decision that I could do to offer myself to really, ensure that any of the projects or conversations or even new ideas that I might have in order for me to really work on District 5 and make sure that it doesn't, fall behind, continues. And that was the main reason why I decided to do it, because I couldn't see that there was another person that could possibly have that right voice in District 5.
Thank you. And so what has been your experience, candidly, over these last 2 months you've been in office, just a shade over 2 months, what's that experience been like for you, first of all, personally?
I was a staffer, so trying to transition to now being the city representative has been eye-opening just because it's a whole different world. But I will say that I'm extremely grateful for this new council and the mayor. There's this new energy, new dynamic that, you know, everyone's learning and everyone's willing to learn and we're learning together. So I'm really truly enjoying that experience of learning and being able to have new conversations in my new capacity and really re-engaging with the community and the district and the new council members and the mayor and the city staff. I mean, we fairly have a new city manager that we just got appointed months ago, right? And we have, I would say, a police chief that just got appointed about a year and a half ago or two.
Right.
So what I'm saying is the city has a whole new administration, and this is a perfect opportunity for us to reengage, reimagine, and really reconnect with the community as a whole.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing this in my own personal experience, my own personal capacity, because I feel that I'm learning now as a city representative what it's like to be a city representative.
Yeah, and actually you mentioned Dion, well, not by name, as the city manager, but we're giving her some time. She and I have spoken. We're going to give her a little time to get settled in before we're going to bring her on the show to talk about all the things she has done already and is planning to do. Of course, now we have, I think, 7 deputy city managers. So she's, I think, going in the right direction in delegating responsibilities, because there's so much to deal with at the city as a staff member, and to be able to then trust individuals to execute in those departments so that she's able to sort of take charge. But, I'll let her talk about that when she comes on board. And so this dynamic for you, has it been in a strange or different or challenging transition to go from being a staff member working with other employees of the city to now being an elected official?
You know, when I met with Dion and even our city attorney, Ms. Carla Neiman, the new council, or the entire council as a whole, we've getting a lot of new trainings, orientation and whatnot. We've been in conversations that I didn't even know that I was going to be able to be a part of prior to being a city representative. But I really had this mindset of, go in as if you don't know anything. Teach me what I need to be taught so that we all could be on the same page. By me taking that step back, instead of me saying like, well, I already know how to do this, I already know how to do that, kind of open a whole new chapter in my brain so that I'm able to know how to collaborate with everyone as well.
That was really nice to hear you just make that statement using that word collaborate. It's something that I think everyone in the community, those who even didn't vote in the election, but want a better city and a better city council and mayor, have expressed to me how you mentioned a moment ago, the energy that they're pleased with seeing the direction that the council's going in now, with everybody seemingly willing to listen to one another, work together towards a common goal, which is improving the quality of life for our citizens, right? So that segues into, what are some of your t- top priorities for your district?
I know I mentioned Joe Battle being a dirt road, and I visit that again just because, you know, the master plan for District 5 that happened 20, 25 years ago doesn't make sense anymore, and we haven't revisited that plan, right? So when it comes to the growth that has happened in the last few years, I always like to divide District 5, not necessarily divide, but when I look at the map, I always, Zaragoza Road, it's right in the middle of the entire district. Everything west of Zaragoza has been there for 30, 40, 50 years. And then we have the other side of Zaragoza that is fairly new. I've only lived there for like 2 to 5, 6 years. But the massive growth that happened just recently happened in the last few years on Zaragoza Road, right? Yes. So when it comes to really talking about traffic and mitigation, and I'm very grateful to have worked with Representative Salcido because there was a lot of initiatives that we started together and that we talked about together that got passed 2, 3 years ago, and now I'm going to be able to see it really move forward. For example, in 2022, the council did vote to approve a traffic study mitigation to work with the MPO with the County of El Paso. Now, my challenge is going to be to find funding for it because we don't have funding for it. So there's some plans that are in place for us to work with that, to allocate the funding to specifically work on a traffic mitigation study. But then there's also, you know, in 2022, the voters did approve the Monwood Extension project. But now it's ensuring that it gets complete, you know? And that's also another challenge because we're working with the county, we're working with the MPO to ensure that that gets complete. A lot of the community doesn't understand that the entire property of where the Monwood Extension is going to happen is county jurisdiction. It's not the city. And then we're dealing with about 30 different property owners, right? So it's not that we could just get the land and build it. It doesn't happen that way. So it's a long process, and I know it's been a long conversation for many years, but I'm already having the meetings. I'm having the conversations with people. We had our very first community meeting in October of last year just to initiate the conversation of this is the plan, this is where it's going. This is the first design or draft design, and the design's still not complete. It's about 70% done.
Yeah.
But now we're going to start working with the CRMA to start acquiring the land, and then we're going to start the build-out.
Community Rural Regional Mobility Authority.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So traffic is a big concern of mine. You know, Zaragoza Road, I want to figure out what that means in the future. I know Zaragoza is a Texas state road, right? And a lot of people do reach out to our office saying, what is the city doing? What are we going to do about Zaragoza? But we have absolutely no jurisdiction over it.
Right. All you can try to do, perhaps through the MPO, the Metropolitan Planning Organization, is to try and influence TxDOT. But, of course, then there's the funding mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
Because while you may be able to convince them what they need to do, unless we have the funds coming from the state to fund that project, it's just a plan, right?
Yeah, correct.
Now, you mentioned traffic mitigation, but if I'm not mistaken, over the last year or so, TxDOT has done some improvements to Zaragoza, portions of Zaragoza, where they've put in more curb cuts because they haven't gotten the funding to widen Zaragoza. For those of you who are not on Zaragoza very often, it's 2 lanes in each direction and desperately needs to be 3 lanes in each direction. But then that also means money to be able to do acquisitions for easements from the private sector property owners in order to do it. But we've kind of got the cart before the horse because all that growth occurred, and we should have done Zaragoza 3 lanes to start with a long time ago. And now it's just a greater challenge. I know I represent a lot of people who are concerned about that particular area. But you mentioned Montwood as well. And so I think it's great that the county and the city are communicating with each other because you're right, most of that road will be county construction. And so they have to be able to work with you on that final design so that everybody's pleased with the end result, right?
Correct. And you know, and there's many other projects in place in collaboration also with the county. That's extremely important, specifically in District 5 because we have a lot of donut holes or, you know, we connect a lot to the county jurisdiction. So like John
Hayes. Explain what you mean by donut hole.
Yeah, donut holes would be a property that's not city limits, but it could be a parcel of land that it's within the county, but the city hasn't annexed it in, or the property owner hasn't annexed it into the city. So the city has no jurisdiction over it, meaning we have no say, no advocacy. We cannot provide services. We cannot provide streets. We cannot provide any type of city
and
service.
And you can't even really take any kind of necessary I'll use the term punitive for lack of a better choice of words, but if that property owner is not playing nice with the community, not maintaining the property, breaking rules that by city standards would be a fine, mm-hmm. right? You can't even do that because it's not the city.
Correct. I mean, they could build whatever they want to build in that parcel
right,
of land.
Because it's not zoned.
Correct.
By city standards.
Correct.
And you mentioned the term annexation. For those who don't know this, the city is not able, has been for several years now, since the state passed a law, the city cannot come in and forcibly annex property into the city.
Correct.
The property owner has to willingly say, I'll be glad to be annexed. And unless that happens, there's not much the city can do.
Correct. That is completely correct. And I was saying about the collaborative work with the county. You know, we're going to be connecting John Hayes to Pelicano and Vista del Sol. That's also a partnership with the county. Tierra Este is going to be connecting all the way to Mongwood and hopefully, you know, continue the connection. So there's a lot that's happening, but we need to ensure that we do get the funding specifically for a traffic study. You know, and I know Zaragoza has had some improvements, but we have to have deeper conversation into that. I've obtained some data in regards of, you know, any accidents and whatnot that has happened on Zaragoza in the last 10 years.
Yes.
To ensure that, you know, even if it's not within my jurisdiction, I don't want to be pointing fingers. Rather, let's have these conversations of what solutions we're going to be able to provide.
Yeah. And to underscore what you just said, because we recently dealt with this at City Council, Zaragoza has some of the highest numbers of accidents per year.
Correct. I mean, just in my portion of Zaragoza, which starts where the JCPenney is on Mongwood and goes all the way to Montana, there's an average of one car accident a day.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So moving on, you spend a lot of time on infrastructure, which is important. It's actually one of the platforms you ran on.
Correct.
And in fact, for that matter, it's one of the platforms that the mayor and other members of council ran on as well. What are some of your other priorities for your district or for the city at large?
Yeah, so again, I go back to how fast District 5 has grown, and I want to ensure that District 5 does not fall behind. We need to ensure that we provide for the resources. You know, the Beast Urban Park, for example.
Say again?
The Beast Urban Park.
The Beast Urban Park,
yes. It's going to be the largest urban park in El Paso, 90-acre park. It's being built in different phases. Now, we don't have funding for each phase. And it's a 90-acre park. We barely have about, I think it's 6 acres that have been complete out of 90 acres. Now, we've been working on the design for phase two. It's just about to get finalized. We have some funding for phase two. We actually just received a state grant for phase two to add.
And how large will phase two be?
So it's going to be about another 12, 13 acres.
Yeah.
So where I'm getting to, we still have about 70 acres to plan in that massive park, right?
By the time that's finished, your hair is going to look like mine.
I pray you won't have hair.
I hope not.
Like
hope
I'm running out of hair.
I hope not. But go on.
So the Beast Urban Park is going to be a big focus of mine because my district wants more quality of life. They want more things to do. They don't want to have to be traveling outside of the district to enjoy quality of life, right? Now, I mean, if I'm already – every morning I look at the map and I'm like, how am I going to get out of here? I'm going to be stuck on traffic. People are not going to want to have to travel.
You said that the other day as well.
I always say that because it's true. It's something that I face with daily. So quality of life is going to be extremely important. Ensuring we complete the Beast Urban Park, phase two is coming up. And we've been able to sit down with our city engineers, design phase two, ensure that the voice and what the community has been asking for, we're able to advocate for. And then once phase two is funded, well, it's already funded. Once it's built out, then my next challenge is going to be phase three. But now I need to ensure that I don't forget about the other side of Zaragoza because they're going to also want more quality of life.
Sure.
You know, we have about 28 parks in District 5. Some of these parks don't have amenities. They don't have tree canopies. They don't have it's might just be a piece of land with grass. So people want more things to do. I want to be able to advocate even further to bring more things for their families, for their kids.
Sure.
Stay out of trouble. Stay out of the streets. You know, enjoy their quality of life in their neighborhoods. So that's another thing. You know, we do have Fire Station 38 that's currently being built. So public safety is extremely important for the community as well. I know that we have one fire station in District 5 yet. We're the fastest growing district in El Paso. And with the fire station that we have is currently in RCPO, they could take about 12 to 15 minutes to reach one of the sites of the district. So Fire Station 30 is currently being built.
It's going to be able to make a difference between life and death.
Yeah. So Fire Station's coming up too.
Well, in the few minutes we have left, and we are, and this 30 minutes goes by very quickly, always, for me at least, too quickly, what, and you kind of touched on it, so maybe you've already covered it, are some of the challenges that you're trying to deal with?
Challenges that I'm trying to deal with. You know, I think overall is really establishing a deeper relationship with District 5 and trying to engage with them and trying to share my information with them, I would say. I think a lot of people just overall do not understand the process of the city or what we're working on. So, you know, I do have a newsletter. I'm trying to share as much information through our social media platforms. But I think one of the biggest things is going to be really people showing up to our community meetings, showing up to our events, knowing that they could access us, knowing that they could reach out and have a conversation about what things that they feel is important. And I'm always going to be willing to have these conversations, right, just to share the correct information. And so that they can know that the city is working on specific solutions, projects. I mean, even for example, I know that I didn't get to talk about it, but we have some new traffic signals that are coming up. Some of these traffic signals were funded back in 2017, 2018. They're barely going to start coming up into fruition, right? But it's ensuring that these projects get complete and knowing and communicating to the community that we're working on it as an organization. And then now start planning once again for the future, what the future means and where what it holds, and ensuring that the correct voice stays in District 5, right? Because that's what it's going to take for us to really complete everything we need to complete for the district.
For the benefit of our listening audience, I would offer this, because as you know, I try my very best to get out. I don't make all of the district's constituent meetings, but I try to make as many of them as possible, not every one every week or every month. But what I've seen, to your point, all of you seem to be really committed to having your constituent meetings on a regular basis and really making it an opportunity for your constituents to have a voice to actually be heard at your meetings. And we want to continue to encourage people, if you haven't gone, whether it's for District 5 or for that matter, any one of the 8 districts, you're missing a rare opportunity to really deliver your message, whatever that might be, in a respectful way to your city representative so that you can get some things done that you want in your particular district to be completed to make a better life for you in that area. What other ways would you encourage your constituents to be in touch with you? We can begin by sharing your phone numbers, your email.
Yeah, so my office is available by email, phone. I mean, we're always open. And you can ask my staff. I'm kind of obsessed with my phone and my email. I'm constantly ensuring that we respond as fast as we can, you know. But we could be reached at District number 5, not the actual number, but District5@ElPasoTexas.gov.
Yeah.
And Texas is all completely spelled out.
Yep.
And then our phone number is 915-212-0005.
Right. So I want to underscore that for a second because we're talking about District 5. So if you want to call, of course, you dial the area code. It's 212-000 and the number 5 because it's District 5. That's how you reach every district representative from 1 through 8 by doing the same thing. And you mentioned an email. So it's district and the number 5 at ElPasoTexas.gov. And that's the way you reach every member of council by doing District 1, District 2, et cetera, which I think, and this is something that wasn't always the case. It was always different for each district. And over the last couple of years, the city said, hey, we got to make this easier for our constituents. I think it's so easy that even I remember how to check in with you all and reach you. And I want to encourage you also to reach out to your District 5 representative. I call that often, I call you very often, maybe too often. your folks are always great about responding.
Thank you.
And getting back to you very quickly. And that's really a compliment to make that statement for you all, because it wasn't always that way in the community at large, let alone any specific districts. So I think the city is very much going in the right direction. As we have run out of time, pretty close, how about a closing thought for our listening audience? A message you want to communicate to them that you feel is important to them?
Yeah, well, once again, thank you so much, Richard. And, you know, I'm very grateful for District 5, the constituents, the community, and El Paso as a whole. It's an opportunity that I have to represent and make them proud. And it's something that I'm going to really ensure that I do. And again, my office is always available. I'm not going to be a subject expert in every single topic. So I'm always going to want to have these different types of conversations with individuals to ensure that I'm able to get the full background. Because at the end of the day, I know that I have to make decisions and I have to, you know, I have that authority from the constituents to vote. And I'm not going to take it very lightly. So I need to ensure that I'm able to have all the conversations with as many people as possible to ensure that the decisions that I make is the best decision I make and know that I trusted myself in making that decision. And once again, I'm always available. And thank you once again for allowing me to be here with you.
You're very welcome. And by the way, your last statement was very encouraging. So I want to encourage our audience, speaking of encouragement, to take advantage of this open invitation from Mr. Nino. And if you live in District 5, reach out to him and share with him your thoughts, your concerns, your suggestions. This is the concluding of our interview today. And I want to thank you for being on the show, Ivan. And to our audience, especially our regular listeners, I need to remind you, this is KTEP, your NPR station for the Southwest. We're a nonprofit station and rely on our listeners as our contributors. So if you're already a contributor to KTEP, thank you so much for your support. It's very much needed. You can become a sustaining member by going to our website and clicking on the donate button. So go to ktep.org. Click on donate. You can make a one-time contribution or you can make a long-term commitment by pledging every month to have your credit card debited or your bank account debited. For whatever amount you wish to contribute. And the great thing about it is you can change that number up or down as circumstances change in your personal life. So we thank you for listening to us, and we wish you a wonderful Saturday afternoon.
El Paso Primetime is a production of KTEP. Views expressed by the host and guest don't necessarily reflect those of KTEP. For inquiries about our public affairs programming, email ktep@utep.edu. Richard Dayoub appears courtesy of Thunderbird Consulting. The producer and editor is Daisy Morales. The show is recorded at the Communication Department at the University of Texas at El Paso. To learn more about the program or to listen to past episodes, visit ktep.org.